Welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Chris Temple, founder and editor of The National Investor. And Chris, we're starting off this week with risk on equities moving higher. So U.S. markets moving higher and the risk off equities, the ones that were really running last week and even started the week before, they're selling off a little bit. Now, a lot of this is on the back of no more trade war fears between the U.S. and Mexico. But this is also something that you wrote about, warned your members about, because of just how hard and fast some of those risk off equities moved. What do you think about the overall environment? Is it time to lighten up a little bit on the risk off and think that risk on still might keep on moving?
Well, it was time to do that a week ago when I told my members to do it. Probably still is a good idea right now. But, you know, if you stayed short the market the last week, I don't know. I think we're potentially nearing the end of this rally for stocks. I even told folks when I told them to take, cash in our short bets a week ago, that we might be putting them right back on, depending on how things turn out. And frankly, the stock market rally has gone farther and faster than I ever thought it would, even though I got the direction right this time. And as far as the risk-off assets, the odd couple, treasuries and gold, they both have held up better than I thought they would, frankly, even with the rally in equities. But there's still some danger ahead for all of these things, most of all next week when the Fed meets. And if they not only don't give the markets the rate cut that they want now, which I don't think they will at this point, but don't forecast that one is imminent, then we got a problem. And I mean, after all, we see the thing with Mexico now kind of pushed off to the side. The market has rallied to where we're within spitting distance of the all-time highs from around the 1st of May. What is so compelling that the Fed has to lower rates? So I don't think they want to do it until there's something a bit more acute as far as danger is concerned, which, you know, notwithstanding the fact that President Trump this morning, when he made his impromptu phone call into CNBC to rail about a number of things, went back to browbeating the Fed some more, I don't know that that's going to move them right away. So I think that a lot of these moves here again have been stretched because we've got all of this volatility, even though we're ended up going no place where the stock market's concerned. I think that next week we may be shifting gears again.
Yeah, so a lot of eyes still on the Fed, but I think a lot of people who were trying to get very aggressive saying that the Fed would be cutting rates next week, well, I don't think that's going to happen, but who knows what the Fed is actually going to say about future rate hikes. But Chris, if we take a step back, over the last 2 weeks, the news was dominated by trade wars, tariffs coming into Mexico, which turned out all to be essentially fake news. There were no tariffs that were brought on. Trump claims to have a victory in terms of immigration, but we don't really know what Mexico agreed to. However, under this whole backdrop, the markets got hit for 1 day or 2 days and then started recovering. And I think the S&P is something like 100 points higher than where it was when Trump first made that comment regarding the tariffs. So overall, how can companies or even investors feel comfortable in this environment where there is still just so much uneasiness and tariffs seem to get thrown out on a weekly basis now?
Well, I don't know if it's a matter of feeling confident. As far as looking forward, I think a lot of investors are still willing to forgive a lot of this noise. They've all come to grips with the likelihood that we are going to have a multi-year tussle over information and trade and security and a lot of things with China. So I think everybody has digested that. So any surprise is probably at this point going to be on the upside if President Trump and President Xi do meet on the sidelines of the G20. That's not a done deal yet, I don't believe. In fact, President Xi or some of his people were suggesting over the weekend that he may not want to meet with Trump, in which instance the president here has said, if they do that, well, I'll just put these extra tariffs on immediately if he doesn't even want to talk to me. So anyways, you know, we'll see what happens with that. And as far as Mexico, that was much ado about nothing. To me, it was a part publicity stunt, part massaging the market's expectations, part trying to bluster and get his way to show that he's in charge. I speak, of course, again, of President Trump. But whatever the case is, you know, it's a net positive, obviously, if we're not going to have these added tariffs on Mexico as well. And if maybe that means as well that the new USMCA is still on track to get approved before too terribly much longer. So, I mean, we'll see. A lot can change. This is one of the challenging things. And I mean, in a way, it's kind of fun, even though other ways it's exasperating, trying to prognosticate on things now when everything is such a moving target. And when we've got the U.S. commander in chief who loves to shoot from the hip, and today it's this and tomorrow it's that, you know, it makes it interesting, Corey, that's for darn sure.
Yeah, it really does make it interesting, but I think it also just puts a lot of question marks in investors' minds. And do you think that makes investors at least keep some cash on the sidelines because of kind of the back and forth? You just don't know what's going to happen on a day-to-day basis?
Well, look, a lot of investors have. I mean, one of the stories of the market for the first half of this year, even though we had at the 1st of May a new record high, is that generally speaking, individual retail investors have still been very standoffish of this rally in general terms. It's been the institutional money, the pension funds, those that have to do something that have kept things aloft. But when you look at individual investors, they're still very underinvested, frankly, in the market. So, you know, that there, so there's two different stories there. When you look at fund flows and all these different kind of things like that, it tells those stories. Now, that suggests that if by some what would appear right now to be miracle, we see a resolution of the U.S.-China thing, and still there's years worth of work and negotiating to be done, but where a truce is called in this war, this new Cold War, as some are, I think, correctly calling it, that we thought we were going to have not much over a month ago, and you go to new all-time highs, then I think individual investors come back on board. And that is maybe where we'll have another run and go to some eventual final blow off top for the stock market that maybe we haven't seen yet. But that's going to require, you know, this breakthrough, which may or may not come.
Which, unfortunately, we just have no idea or no way of telling what might come out of it. But again, everyone now is just focused on the Fed coming up next week. Chris, any other comments regarding markets that you see an opportunity in or an overall strategy? I know you are still encouraged by the moves that we've seen in the precious metals, but now there is a time or an argument that we could see a bit of a pullback there. So anywhere else where you're going to try to make some profits here?
Well, look, first of all, I think that it's going to be time before too terribly much longer here to more aggressively add back some of the more interesting names among exploration plays in the gold sector primarily. I still don't like the base metals, generally speaking, because of the continued worries over trade and the health of the global economy. I continue to like energy as a theme. I don't have people heavily invested in that. We've had some winners. We've had a couple of losers. If you believe that things are going to at least muddle along, then I still think that all else being equal, that this selling that we've seen recently was overdone. And we are, in fact, seeing a bounce in oil because of, you know, this peace treaty with Mexico, at least, that the U.S. has right now. But that's still something where you don't throw a lot of money at it quite yet. You've got to pick your spots. And I think, Corey, that's a moral of the markets generally right now, is you got to pick your spots. It was nice to be able to get out of short positions at the right time early last week, you know, ride some of the longs higher. At some point, it may be time to short the market again. Could be next week if the Fed is less dovish at its actual FOMC meeting than the market's kind of baked in recently. We'll see. But there's really not a great deal that you can go all in on right now, in my opinion. I mean, even though I'm still bullish on gold long term, you know, for example, if the Fed really tilts in a hawkish near-term direction and upsets everybody, then along with the stock market dropping and a dollar spiking again, maybe gold goes back to 1280 to 1300. for a while. We'll see what happens. But again, the long-term picture, in my view, has not changed. We've just got a lot of this noise in the interim, where if you're an aggressive trader, you can navigate it and make some money. If you're not, then you've got to stay with a pretty high cash position still.
Yeah. Now, one thing, too, that I just want you to quickly comment on regarding time frame, too. A lot of people are already talking about that election next year and how Trump might try to work these trade deals in, or any sort of other, especially market type moves that he could control into that whole election cycle. Do you think people should be focusing on that election next year and the potential of Trump kind of massaging whatever numbers or news he needs to going into it?
Oh, absolutely. That's a possibility, Corey. I mean, and that's nothing new. Every president running for re-election does what he can to goose the markets or to make the markets happy, to make the electorate happy, to bolster his chances that he already has as an incumbent. So this guy's not going to be any different. He'll probably do it more so. So, you know, I'm sure that he is going to continue to do what he did this morning, just out of the blue. Here he is, you know, yammering on for quite a while on CNBC. When's the last? I mean, we've never had a president who would just at the drop of a hat calls into financial television, has an open mic, basically, and can say whatever he wants. So again, it's part entertaining, part unnerving, part, you know, you want to throw your hands up, part you say, hey, you know, God bless him for having, you know, such cojones to do the kind of thing he does. But we'll see. I mean, he's, you know, he's trying to set up himself to look good under any scenario. If the economy were to stumble, he's already been telling us for over a year, and it'll be 2 years by election day. I told you people publicly the whole time the Fed made a mistake. They shouldn't have done this. I wish I could fire Jerome Powell. He may even try and do it if the economy weakens and the Fed hasn't moved fast enough to cut interest rates yet. He's talking about China. I think they want to make a deal. They're hurting and holding out an olive branch like he wants a deal too. And if they don't do it, well, hey, I tried. It's not my fault. It's China's fault. And if he gets the deal, then he's a hero for that too. So, yeah, I mean, he's gonna continue to massage the narrative in every way that's going to be favorable to him, either, you know, if things look good and turn out well, we're at new highs for the stock market, then, you know, the election in 2020 is his to lose.
Yeah. All right, Chris, well, we're going to wrap it up there, but still just so much headline driven, and with the president who loves being in the spotlight. It's so interesting just to see him calling up the financial news networks and just chatting about what he thinks and trying to push different buttons on, well, different people's scales. But yeah, very interesting to see or to live through all of this experiment really that's going on. Chris, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time today, and have a great rest of your day.